point in putting a set of lights on the tree that don't work? Lights are meant to shine. What is the point of a lighthouse being on an outcrop of rocks, being on a dangerous stretch of water, meaning to warn passing ships that danger is in this area? What is the point of a lighthouse if the lighthouse doesn't shine? What is the point in us having, you know, all the lights in the building if we come in when it's really dark in the morning and we flip the switch and all the bulbs are gone and the lights don't come on? What would be the point in having the lights in the building? Lights are meant to shine. So I'm going to ask you this question tonight. Is your light shining or has it gone out? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. We are still going through the greatest sermon ever preached. The Lord Jesus Christ has completed the Beatitude section of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's addressed the important principle of doing, which follows being. And it's important that we be what God wants us to be. It's important that we do what God wants us to do. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around you a word. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to recognize that we have a calling, that we have been commanded to let our light shine. Our light is not meant to be hid. Our light, just like a lighthouse is to warn ships about the dangers of the rocks, just as a light upon a Christmas tree is to highlight that tree, just as a light is meant to illuminate the place where it is placed. And Father, we pray that you'd help us as lights of the world to warn the world of danger, not to highlight ourselves, but to glorify God and to be able to show people the path that is needed to be walked in this life. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would help us. And if there's anyone here that has struggled in this past year, anybody here that has kind of felt like their light was dimming a bit, that their light needed even replacing, as it were, and Father, I pray that we wouldn't be broken bulbs. I pray that we wouldn't be washed out lighthouses. I pray that we wouldn't be broken Christmas tree lights, that we would be the light of the world so that others might see our good works. And as a result, it wouldn't point people to us. It would point people to the Father, and he would be glorified through the Son. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus said, in order for us to do what we are meant to be, he used two examples, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And these are contrasting in a way, because salt is something which relates to the hidden work. We looked at the properties of salt and what salt does. You know, salt preserves, salt creates a thirst, salt does unseen work, whereas light is seen by everybody. Salt is hidden in its work, light is obvious. Salt tends to work secretly, light works openly. Salt works from within, light works from without. The salty effect works primarily through our living, while light works primarily through what we teach or preach in terms of the principles of the Word of God. We don't have inherent light. We have reflective light. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and said, "I am the light of the world." So how can we be the light of the world if he's the light of the world? Well, we understand that he lives within us, so effectively we have the light of the world within us, but we are to reflect that light to others. We are meant to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are Christ-like, then we are reflecting the light of Christ to those who are lost. So what is the meaning behind this when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You are the light of the world"? First of all, I want to look at identity. I want to look at identity. Oh, here we go. Okay. In verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." The phrase, "the light of the world," was well known to the Jews in Jesus' day. The phrase was a title given to eminent rabbis or teachers. As Christians, we have a teaching influence on a lost and dying world. We have a teaching influence because we are meant to be people who are upright, people who have a high moral standing. If we are going to teach and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's important for us to know what we're talking about. We ought to know the Word, apply the Word, study the Word, live the Word, breathe the Word, eat the Word, feed upon the Word, let the Word take control of us so what's on the inside eventually will come out. The light of the world. You know, in the days of the temple, there was in the holy place the menorah, which was 6 to 7 feet in height. It had a central shaft with three branches on each side. And we know that that lampstand, going back to the days of the tabernacle, gave light in the holy place. The central shaft was significant because it was from this shaft, the light from that shaft was used to light the other three shafts on either side of the central shaft. And the center shaft was called by the priests the servant candle or the light of the world. Well, as we said, Jesus is the light of the world. That central shaft reminds us that Christ is to be the center of our lives. Christ ought to have the preeminence in our lives. Christ ought to be central in all that we do, in the way that we speak, in the decisions that we make. If we are making a life-changing decision, can I say this to you? We ought to have consulted with the Lord Jesus Christ first. And if any decision we make takes us further away from Christ, can I say this, that that decision wasn't a spiritual decision in the first place? Christ is meant to be central in our lives. We are His ambassadors. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Romans 12:11 says, "We are not to be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Philippians says, "We are to do all things without murmurings and disputings, except for shopping, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." If you were to ask, well, what is my purpose? Your purpose is to shine. Your purpose is to shine brighter than anything. And you might say, well, I just don't feel like I have that light within me. This world is so dark. Guess what? Even the dimmest of lights makes a difference in the darkest of places. You're meant to shine. That's what you were created for. That's what you were saved for. That is why you are here on this earth right now. That is what you are meant to be doing now. Paul says we are to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked world. We are meant to shine for Christ. We're not meant to be hid away in a cave. You know, what good would it be? You all had really nice gifts, wouldn't you? You had a little torch from the church last year. You all had a torch. How many still got their torch? Let me ask you this question. How many of you have got this on your key ring? Two of you. Well, what was the point in giving you a torch then when there's no lights in the car park? Do you know the amount of times I use this thing? You go over to the car park, it's dark in the car park. In the winter, the sun sets at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Wales. It's like dark all the time. I was just about to say, what good is this light when you go over to the car park and it stays in your pocket? It's more good in your pocket than it is in the house. Let me just get you something else next time. But a light is meant to shine. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are meant to be light in a perverse world. We are meant to be light in a dark world. What does light do? Light dispels darkness. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Why is it important that we be lights? Why is it important that we shine? So that others may see the good works in us, so that it doesn't draw attention to us. A lighthouse doesn't draw attention to itself because of its light. It draws attention to the rocks that it is warning the ships against. Our light is not meant to draw attention to ourselves. Our light is meant to draw attention to the one that we serve. When our light shines, when we do good works, it glorifies our Father. The world is a spiritually dark place. And it is getting darker and darker and darker every single day. And guess what? People love the dark. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness more rather than the light, because their deeds are evil." Well, when are the majority of crimes committed? During the night. You know, yes, you do have some crimes taking place during the day, but for the most part, things are stolen in the night. Houses are broken into in the night. Muggings and what have you take place during the night. You know, we were always told when we were kids, when, you know, years ago, we used to go out and play. You never used to, like, stay in the house. You were always told, as soon as the street lights come on, you come in. That was the law. Why? Because you didn't want to be out after dark. Why? Because it's scary. But light dispels darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And darkness alone cannot dispel light. But light can dispel darkness. And even the smallest of lights. And I used this illustration a couple of years ago about those little torches we were given to walk through Hezekiah's tunnel, and even though they were tight, they were like one, literally one little LED bulb, and you thought, that is not going to do anything underground. But even that smallest of lights lit up enough for you to be able to see something. Even the smallest of light will make a difference in the darkest of places. You were sometimes darkness, but you're not darkness anymore. You are light in the Lord. So guess what? Let your light shine. Walk as children of light. Do you know the world's longest night took place in AD 1752? And this was the time of the changeover from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. People went to bed on September the 2nd, and when they woke up the next morning, it was September the 14th. That was a long night. But can I say this, that there was a far longer night in our lives before the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from a life of sin? There was a General Electric ad that raised the question, what was Thomas Edison's biggest blunder? The ad reveals that Edison opposed the theory of alternating current developed by Charles Steinmetz. The ad concludes by stating that Steinmetz was almost refused admission to Ellis Island as an unfit immigrant. One of the men most responsible for the electrification of America was almost turned away from its gate. And that would have been a tragedy. But you know what the biggest tragedy is? Is that people reject the light of the world every single day. And they would rather choose the darkness over the light. Light dispels darkness. Light also displays things. A lighthouse, ocean buoys, power tower. You know when you'd go out sometimes, I used to, I love it in the nighttime then when you kind of head towards Barry, you can see the red lights on there. It used to be the ITV tower. I don't know what it is now, if it's still there. But if you head towards Barry, there's those two big towers with the red lights on. So anything like that, police emergency vehicles, they've got the blue lights on them to kind of display warnings. Road signs, important road signs, have got lights on them so you can see them in the night. And they all use those lights to warn of hazards. A light is often the warning which tells us to halt when danger is ahead. It's sometimes the Christian's duty for us to tell men of that warning. There is danger ahead. For those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the danger is they'll go to a Christless hell. For those who reject the warning that there is a judgment for their sin, then they will have to pay for their own sin. We are to be the lights, to be that warning hazard, so that people, we don't kind of usher people into the gates of hell. If anything, we are meant to be a stumbling block, a warning light to say, don't go down this road, don't go down this path, don't head in this direction because there is danger ahead. That's our duty, to bring the necessary warning to a wicked and dangerous world. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We are to warn people. Why? Because if people carry on the destructive path, there is danger ahead. If they carry on that destructive path, guess what? That destructive path leads to destruction. So let your light shine. Dispel the darkness and display the warning signs. Let them know that there is danger ahead. Sometimes our warnings may go unheeded, but we are still to keep on warning others. Hey, listen, if you go past a road sign that says, you know, road closed. Let me ask you this question. How many times have you ever done this, where you've gone to a road sign that says road closed, you think, no, it's not. I know that road is not closed. And off you go, you kind of turn down that path and you head and you get, finally you think, ah, see, I told you. And right before that next junction, the road is closed. If we ignore the warning signs, we're going to get into trouble. If people continue to ignore our warning signs, it's not just trouble, it's an eternity of punishment, an eternity of pain, an eternity of paying for their own sin that they needn't pay for, because Christ has already paid for it. Light displays warnings. When the unsinkable Titanic sank, warning after warning had been sent to tell them that they were speeding into an ice field. But the messages were ignored. In fact, when a nearby ship sent an urgent warning, the Titanic was talking to Cape Race about the time the chauffeurs needed to meet the arriving passengers at the dock and what menus were to be ready. Preoccupied with trivia, the Titanic responded to the warnings. Be quiet. We're talking to Cape Race, and you are jamming our signals. If someone is warning you about sin's consequences, for those who don't know Christ as their Savior, don't get frustrated with them. Deal with your sin. Heed the warning signs. Don't say, stop jamming up my radio signal. I'm talking about far more important matters. There's nothing more important than somebody's eternal soul. Light displays warning. Light directs. Or, I don't know if they do it so much anymore now, because like in the cinema and in the theatres, they kind of got LED lighting now. But remember those days when you'd walk into the theatre, for those who are willing to admit they used to go to the theatre or the movies, you'd come in and they say, right, let me just direct you to your row. Right, come down here now. Your row is down there. And they direct you with a light. What, light directs. You know when you come in, if you've ever been on an airplane at night time, and you think, how on earth does the airplane know where to go? Well, when they come to the runway, the lights are set out in such a way that there is no mistake that that is the runway. The light directs. Light shows what is on the path. Light serves as a beacon for getting our bearings. Sailors navigated by the light of the stars and by the sun. In the Old Testament, God's presence was manifested in the Shekinah glory, which led the children of Israel. That fiery and cloudy pillar in the wilderness pointed the way. It directed. As Christians, we are to guide and direct people. For us as believers, we have the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. But as the light of the world, we have to make the way clear to others. Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody this week and he said, but the problem is, there's so many denominations. Yeah, and the lights have become cloudy. Which denomination is right? Because well, the thing is, you know, you add the Christians, and then all of a sudden, along comes the Roman Empire, and the Catholic Church starts. So, which one is right? Because he said, surely not everybody can be right. How clever Satan is. Because when he couldn't persecute the church, he perverted the church. And now who knows which one to go to? Because there's a plethora of churches, and guess what? None of them can agree on anything. And guess what? Not even the Baptists can agree on everything. I'd be glad when we finally get the glory and realize that he was right all along. What am I trying to say? We're meant to be shining lights, but the church has not done its duty in being a light to the world. Because if anything, it's just made things more confusing. Well, why is you a church right and they a church not right? Why is that church up the road right and the church down the road isn't? Why is that denomination preaching the right thing and that denomination isn't? Aren't you all Christians? We've got to let our light shine for him. You know, our gospel message is not that Bethany Baptist Church saves. Listen, it might be the best church in Pontypridd, but it doesn't mean that it's the perfect church. It's just got the perfect pastor. That wasn't meant to be a joke. But we're meant to be lights. We're meant to guide the way. We're meant to light the path. We're meant to give the direction. And we may never know what impact our lives might have on somebody else. Let me ask you this question. Who knows a guy by the name of Mr. Kimball? Anybody know Mr. Kimball? Well, Mr. Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. And in 1858, he led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. That Boston shoe clerk was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody became an evangelist. And in England in 1879, he awakened evangelistic zeal in the heart of F.B. Mayer. F.B. Mayer was a pastor of a small church, and he then preached to an American college campus and brought to Christ a student by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman engaged in YMCA work, employed a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday to do evangelistic work. Billy Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a group of local men were so enthusiastic that they planned another campaign and brought to that meeting a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. During Ham's revival, a young man by the name of Billy Graham heard the gospel and yielded his life to Christ. Billy Graham came to Wales, and a young girl by the name of Janet Pettit accepted Christ as her personal savior. That woman then went on to marry somebody and change their surname to Janet Rogers, who was my mum. So I'm here today because of Mr. Kimball, who led D.L. Moody to the Lord in 1858. What am I trying to say? Just let your light shine. Because you have no idea who you're affecting today and who they affect tomorrow and who they will affect the day after that and who they will affect the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. Just let your light shine and be a guide. That's the identity. We are the light of the world. But what about our ineffectiveness? In at the end of verse 14, it says that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Christ addressed the issue of ineffectiveness by saying that a city that is set on a hill ought to be seen. That a candle in this instance is meant to give light to the house. It's not meant to be put under a bushel so that the light can't be seen. Cities in this regard were not meant to be hidden but to be seen. The light of the lamp was meant to be seen in the house. Otherwise its purpose is unfulfilled. A lamp that is put on a lampstand is there to illuminate the whole room. If you are a Christian, your light is meant to shine. You are not James Bond. You are not a Secret Service agent. You are not a Secret Service Christian. You are meant to be out in the open. You are not meant to be hid under a bushel. You are meant to be set upon the hill. And your good works are meant to be seen. We've said time and time again, people are watching us. Isn't it amazing how people can see all the bad things that we do or the mistakes that we made quite easily? But sometimes all the good that we do for the Lord will go unnoticed. But we're meant to shine. Our life is to radiate the righteousness and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bearing our testimony and our decision of faith in Christ is not going to help. As someone has said, there can be no such thing as a secret disciple, for either the secrecy destroys the discipleship, or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. We are to be shining lights every day. When you go to the workplace on Tuesday, let your light shine. When you go back to the classroom, when the school holidays finish, let your light shine. When you go home, whether it's friends or parents or siblings or children or a spouse who doesn't know the Lord, let your light shine. Don't be ineffective. Don't hide. Don't just come to church and be a Christian in church and let your light shine here, because guess what? It's bright enough at the moment. Now we got the new LED lighting. It's lovely and bright. It's too bright now. Everybody's like, oh, the lights are too bright. Make up your mind. But let your light shine. Don't just shine in church. Shine at home. Shine in the community. Shine in the workplace. Shine in the classroom. Shine. Don't be ineffective. We are meant to have an influence. Christ said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why should we shine before men? Not because it glorifies us, but it glorifies Him. God wants them to see our good works because in turn, He's the one that receives the glory. Remember this, the Sermon on the Mount is God-centered and not man-centered. This verse doesn't say, let your light so shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify you and pat you on the back and say, oh, well done, you're such an awesome Christian. No, it says, let your light so shine before men so that people see your good works and that God is glorified and that God receives the glory. Men are to see our good works, our good deeds. There are two Greek words for good. There's the word agathos, which simply defines a thing as good in quality. And then there's the word kalos, which means a thing that is not only good, but is also winsome, beautiful, attractive. That's the word that's used here. Your good works are meant to be winsome and attractive and beautiful. The good deeds of Christians are not only good, they're attractive so that people can see what we're doing because of the one that we're doing them for. The tragedy of so much so-called goodness today is there's an element of hardness, of pride. Do you know what amazes me? I see these videos on Facebook, and somebody will go up and maybe they'll pay for somebody's groceries, or they'll do something really nice for a homeless person, but they're filming it, and you're like, I get that what you've done is really nice. But you've not done that for them. You've done that so you can rack up all of these views and everybody say, oh man, that was such a nice thing to do. You are awesome. That's not what we are meant to do. Our good works, our good deeds don't glorify us. They glorify Him. And guess what? If nobody ever comes up to us and says, oh, thank you so much, it doesn't matter, because as long as He's seen what's been done, and if what we've done is in accordance with His will and with the right motivation and with the right motive behind it, He's glorified. And I would rather receive a well done, good and faithful servant from Him than a pat on the back down here. We're not to have a look at me attitude. The Pharisees had that type of attitude. All their works that they do is seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Our work is not to draw attention to ourselves. Our light is not to draw attention to ourselves. It's to draw attention to Him. At a conference at which D.L. Moody was present, there were some young men who took their Christian faith very seriously. And one night they held an all-night prayer meeting. As they were leaving it in the morning, they met Moody, and he asked them what they'd been doing, and they told him. And then they continued by saying, Mr. Moody, see how our faces shine. Moody answered very gently, Moses wist not that his face shone. That goodness which is conscious, which draws attention to itself, is not Christ-honoring goodness. Our good deeds ought to draw attention to the Lord. The Christian ought never to think of what he's done. You know, maybe there's plenty of ways that we can serve the Lord. There's plenty of ways that we can serve the Lord in this church. It's a big church that needs to be cleaned. It's a big church in terms of the amount of people we got coming that need to be fed with tea and coffee and what have you. There's a lot of things that can be done in this church. And you know, sometimes you will have no clue of somebody that's just come in quietly. That's clear. You know, the amount of times Joe and I have come in to do something, we thought, oh my day, somebody's done it. I have no idea who that is. And even though I might never get to say thank you to them personally, the Lord knows what they've done, and their good works have been done and have been seen, and they've glorified the Father. We have to shine to exalt God, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can I say that the world needs light today? And we can be that light. Because light dispels darkness. Light displays where the dangers are. And we need to display that there are dangers in this world. Sin is a dangerous thing that will have to be paid for. Light directs. And all we're meant to do is direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we become ineffective when our light gets hidden. Our light is not meant to be hidden. It's meant to be seen. We have the opportunity to be an influence on the whole world. I mean, that, to me, that's incredible that the Lord would use someone as useless as you lot. They would use someone as useless as me. You know, we might say, oh yeah, but you know, I can't do anything. You look at the type of people that the Lord used in the Bible. Joseph was just a young boy, but the Lord used him to save a nation. You know, David was just a shepherd. Somebody with no experience of the royal court whatsoever, but God compared every other king to sit upon that throne to him. Abraham was a liar. Jacob was a trickster. Jeremiah wished he'd never been born. Peter was hot-headed. Balaam had a donkey that was used for the glory of God. And if God can use a donkey, I didn't say that. You did. Let your light shine. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we just pray that in the darkest of days in which we live, that you would enable our light to shine brighter than ever. We recognize how difficult these days are. We recognize how tough it is even to be a Christian. It's not popular to warn people of the dangers of sin, because then that becomes judgmental, or we become self-righteous in the eyes of a lost world. Father, we're not pointing people to us. We're pointing people to you. Help us to be busy about your business. Help us to let our light shine so that you might be glorified, that your work might be done. And Father, we may never know the influence we have further down the line of who might be touched because of our desire to let our light shine. We might not see anybody in our life make an impact for you because of something we've done, but when we are gone, maybe something we said, maybe somebody we won to the Lord because of our witness, because of our light, maybe they will change the world because of the influence we had on them with the gospel. So Lord, just help us to shine our lights. That's what we've been created for. That's what we've been saved for. That's what we've been put on this earth for. So let our light shine, that others might see our good deeds. Others might see our works that are attractive and beautiful. And as a result, you, our Heavenly Father, would be glorified. And lost souls would be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, just help us to have lights that shine for you. For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. Amen. Father, how can we ever thank you for all that you've done for us? How can we ever express the gratitude we have because of the way in which you've changed our lives, for the way in which you've saved our souls, for the way in which you've given us a home in heaven, for the way in which you help us through every trial and tragedy that we face in this life? We don't even have the words to be able to come before you and say thank you because it just sounds so inadequate. But Lord, we love you so much. We recognize how worthy you are to be praised. We recognize the incredible privilege that we have to be able to come before the God of this universe at any moment that we choose, to be able to come before your throne of grace and to thank you and praise you and to even ask for help in a time of need. But Father, we ask that you would help us in this next year to be the lights that we need to be. Help us to shine brighter than we've ever shone before for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to dispel the darkness that's around us. Help us, Lord, to be that person that when we walk into a room, it makes it brighter, not because of our personality, but because of our personal Savior. So, Father, would you give us those witnessing opportunities? Would you give us those opportunities to let others see the light that is in us, that they may glorify God and be pointed to Christ? And help us as your children, let our light shine. Father, we are thankful again for this time together tonight and for this incredible opportunity to sing praises to your name. Lord, we may have been fewer in number tonight, but I'm thankful for the sweetness of the Spirit here in this place and for the privilege we have to praise and worship you. So, Lord, as we go our separate ways, let our light shine. For those watching online, let our light shine. For those listening to this message that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, accept the light of the world. He is the only one that can expel the darkness of sin that has engulfed your lives. He's the only one that can promise eternal life. He's the only one that can pay you a sin debt and give you a home in heaven. So would you come to him as your Savior tonight? And for those of us who are saved, help us to let our light shine. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.